Bailouts are us.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. I think you know what I'm going to say. Last night, the Federal Reserve agreed to bail out insurance company AIG with an $85 billion loan. It'll save the world's largest insurance company from bankruptcy, but the government is going to take at least a pound of flesh. Joining us from New York is Marketplace's Jeremy Hobson. Jeremy, so I guess we're back to that idea of too big to fail?
Yeah, that's exactly right. It's huge. There's an analysis by RBC Capital Markets that says if AIG were to fail, it would cost the financial industry $180 billion, which is probably one reason why you don't hear a lot of partisan bickering coming from Washington right now about this deal. The other thing is, unlike Lehman Brothers, this sort of popped up on the radar screen last week, so the market just didn't have time to prepare for it.
Now, what are the terms of this particular bailout?
Well, it's an $85 billion loan from the federal government, in return for which the government will take about an 80% equity stake in AIG. The management will be replaced, and AIG will be paying that loan back, presumably, over a two-year period with an 8.5% interest rate.
So there's a chance that taxpayers might get off the hook in the end?
There's a chance. Some think that there's no way AIG is going to be able to pay this back. On the other hand, there are parts of AIG's business that are doing just fine. There's an auto insurance division. There's an aircraft leasing unit. The theory is they would sell off these units and pay the government back. If they can do that, then all is well. If not, taxpayers are on the hook for that $85 billion.
All right, Jeremy Hobson in New York. Thank you.
Thanks, Scott.
The stock markets aren't exactly jumping for joy about AIG, but I guess it's helping some. Mixed results in Asia and Europe today. Gains in Japan and in Germany. Losses in Hong Kong and in London so far. The Dow is back above 11,000. It climbed 141 points yesterday to 11,059. The NASDAQ was up 27. The S&P 500 put on 20 points. If you add up all the government bailouts and special loans so far this year, the tab comes to almost $1 trillion. Commentator Robert Reich says that's not money well spent.
We haven't seen this much government intervention in the economy since Lyndon Johnson's Great Society. But this time it's Wall Street rather than the poor who's getting all the help. Free markets, by definition, aren't supposed to need government support. Companies whose shares plummet are supposed to be ripe targets for takeover without government subsidies and guarantees. Firms that need capital are supposed to be able to raise it without emergency loans from the government. So why are the free marketeers in the Bush administration rushing to Wall Street's aid? The answer goes deeper than the subprime mess. The street has suffered a serious erosion in trust. Yet trust is its most important asset. Financial markets trade in promises that assets have a certain value, that numbers on a balance sheet are accurate, that a loan carries a limited risk. If investors stop trusting those promises, Wall Street can't function. But in the last few years, many Wall Street promises have not been worth the paper they're written on. That's because when the securities market was roaring, many financial players had no idea what they were buying or selling. And worse, they didn't care. Derivatives on derivatives, so-called special investment vehicles to move assets off balance sheets, credit default swaps, and of course securities backed by risky home loans. There seemed no limit to the financial smoke and mirrors. That meant almost no limit to what was promised, and regulators looked the other way. It worked great as long as everyone kept trusting and the market kept roaring, but all it took was a few broken promises for the whole system to break down. What to do? Not to socialize capitalism, as is now being done. What's lacking isn't capital, it's trust. And the only way to rebuild trust is through regulations that require financial players to stand behind their promises and tell the truth, along with strict oversight to make sure they do. We tell poor nations they have to make their financial markets transparent before capital will flow to them. Let's practice what we preach. Far better to regulate financial markets to keep them honest than to keep bailing them out.
Robert Reich teaches public policy at the University of California, Berkeley. You can share your thoughts with us at marketplace.org.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Areva, solutions for producing CO2-free energy and transmitting and distributing electricity. Online at us.areva.com. By Constant Contact, dedicated to helping small businesses and nonprofits build stronger customer relationships through email marketing. ConstantContact.com. And by Cleveland Clinic, working to redefine healthcare and the patient experience with the new Miller Family Pavilion and Glickman Tower. More at meetthebuildings.com.
Frankly, I'm kind of tired of talking about Wall Street. You're probably tired of hearing about it. So let's talk about Main Street for a minute. Here's my question. What does this financial mess mean for the guy who runs the hardware store or the woman who owns the local bakery? Here's Rachel Dornhelm.
The trouble at the top of the U.S. financial sector has small businesses worried. Todd McCracken is president of the National Small Business Association. He says business owners are concerned about whether their money is safe and whether they'll lose customers spooked by the turmoil.
Small companies are going to take it on the chin.
These worries are already playing out at Maribel, a used clothing store in Oakland, California. Owner Ann Hartford says sales have been slower since the latest Wall Street woes hit the headlines.
I feel like even if people aren't that indebted into the credit world, that they still read things like that and it slows them down a bit.
Hartford says all the turbulent news makes her feel better about her recent decision to move her shop's money.
I went from a smaller bank to a much larger bank. I felt like I had to do it business-wise. They can offer me a lot more protection.
National Small Business Association President McCracken says members worry the current upheaval isn't likely to ease the ongoing credit crunch anytime soon. In Oakland, I'm Rachel Dornhelm for Marketplace.
Some business stories just aren't getting covered this week. Like this breaking news. Researchers at Georgia Pacific say they've created a three-ply toilet paper. The new TP will be sold under the Quilted Northern label. It's ultra-soft, perfect for crying into when you read your latest financial statements. In Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.